Is that right, Rita? They're supposed to be seated? Okay. Now you folks have three times to follow. You have your time to be here. You have Rita's time to be here. And you have my time to be here. All right. We're going to try again. This series is about rethinking our lives. But what it really is a series about change. We good? Okay. All right. Is this right? I don't know. You... Anyways, it's a series really about change. Okay? Woo! I want to talk to you about change. None of us really like it deep down. Let's just admit that up front. None of us really like it deep down, but it's what happens in our lives. And I want to talk to you a little bit more, maybe a little longer than a little bit, but how important it is when God wants to bring change in our lives. You know what? The topic of change right now is really relevant because it is a... Do you think any of them will figure out to say New Year? Let's try one more time. It's relevant because now is a... New Year, all right. And it's a time for us to evaluate the patterns of our lives. We ask the question, hey, are these patterns moving me forward to the place I really desire to go? Or are they moving me further away from the places and the people and the circumstances that I desire to be a part of? There is a sense, though, where change gives us inspiration. There's an excitedness about this time of year because we are thinking about change and we're willing to be inspired and we're willing even to perspire for some change in our lives. Most folks don't lack that inspiration to give some perspiration to bring about change. I will eat better or different, yes. I will exercise, that's right. But my inspiration, remember, has a shelf life, right? You know, you can only go so far. And at some point you realize, hey, these decisions that I'm making about changing my future, I don't know if I got the inspiration or the perspiration to make them happen. All right, right. Change is the key, though, to all of this. We have moments of inspiration and commitment. I'm going to stop drinking. I am going to explore my faith. I'm going to ask how I can help around the house. Notice my wife didn't show up for the second service when they say that. I will pray more and I will walk away from those toxic relationships. But we know, don't we? In a little while, we will lose the perspiration and the inspiration. It might take a day, a week, a month. But somebody's going to pick up that drink. Somebody's going to talk to folks in a harsh or demeaning way, or we will secretly get away from our family and use our device to do things that we shouldn't be doing. And then we kind of cover up our tracks. Like I just did. And if he calls back, it's going to be Dan Felix, all right? And you can just tell him all hello, all right? Here we go. No, you see, it did the same thing the last place, just off. It can be a powerless feeling, though, you know, to be staring down at that chasm between our inspiration and our perspiration and our seeming inability to bring those two together. Take it further. You are all at, where are we at right now? Church. We are spiritual. We are godly. We are Christians. Very good. Which means we have made a commitment to trust Jesus with our eternity. But we have also said we would trust him and his ways so that we might experience the best in life now. Right. But you know, there's something about that. When you commit to Christ and when you kind of get on your knees and say, Lord, I want to bring about change and I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do this and I want to do it for you. Our perspiration and our inspiration, just like in life, can sometimes wear away. And Jesus sometimes, when we're trying to do those things, we seem to run into some resistance. And we're like, Lord, what's going on? We're trying to walk in your way. And it just seems like things are popping up that make it more of a challenge to me. Let me just say it this morning. Sometimes it feels like all hell breaks loose when you're trying to do the things that you know please God. Now, you don't have to say that, but any of you ever feel those kinds of feelings? Hey, it's really going good. Not one of them have raised their hand. They are all really saintly, spiritual people. Well, what I was going to talk about today is what we can do when our inspiration wears off and our perspiration starts to wear thin. And we all of a sudden feel the opposition challenging us as we're trying to make our way through life and it comes against us. To do that, I want to work through a little passage in the book of Ephesians. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, and in chapter 6, he's writing to this church at Ephesus, as Pat said, you know, trying to encourage them there, and he writes these words. In fact, it's important that we understand that Paul is the one writing this letter because Paul understood God rearranging his life to serve God. In fact, Paul had spent his whole life walking one direction day after day to the point that he was killing Christians and torturing Christians, and just like that, God rearranged his life. Started out on his back, and then he was able to see, and he saw a new way of life. Complete change in direction. Shocked everybody. People were watching saying, that can't be Paul. People were skeptical. Well, let's just see how he does. And I don't know if I believe him, and well, let's just wait and see how long this perspiration and inspiration lasts in the life of Paul. The point is this, is if anybody had credibility to talk about change, it was Paul, right? And he does not pull punches when he's talking about this opportunity to rethink your life. He says in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and his mighty. Put on the armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that and I read about evil spirits and I read about dark forces and I read about unseen bad stuff, I step back and I say, that's a little weird. I don't know about you. You could all smile back at me. You could shake your head, hear a little rattle in here. What do you, you know, do you look and do you read that and think, whoa, it's a little weird. I guess they're not biting, are they? I don't know about you. I think it's a little weird when they talk about darkness and the devil and evil forces, but how many times have we had a sense that there are destructive forces at work, and at a personal level, we accept that reality? Some of us have done things we have completely regretted and found ourselves saying, I just wasn't being myself. That's right. And we have this initial sense that the things outside of us that can weigh on us can be destructive. And Paul is saying the reason you feel that way at times is because it is, starts with an R and ends with an L, and there's an A in there. Hey, you guys are good. All right. Because it is real. You have an enemy that works, that is utterly opposed to the work of God, that is utterly opposed to God doing anything in your life. He says, it's real. He's saying anytime we open ourselves to God, there is a power out there that we need to expect opposition from. We have an enemy, and any step towards Jesus, we have stepped into occupied territory. There are forces at work in you and me, strategies employed against us to deter us from walking on the path that God is inviting us to walk on. Remember last week those two words at the end of the service that I told you not to forget and to live out this week. You remember them. They were stay close. Jesus told his disciples, guys, stay close. Literally, he was saying, guys, move in with me. Guys, follow me. Very personal, stay close. Awake. There, we just woke up the birthday boy. Okay. And stay close. But there are people that want us to kind of follow along off of the way of Christ. There is unsupportive people. You're not one of those religious fanatics. Yeah. Well, you know our family never believed all that stuff. Now you're going and doing that. Hey, you're not going to turn into one of those Christian, you know, people. Unsupportive people. There is also strong temptation that can come our way. Hey, you know, there's two or three things I really fight with in life, and why is it when I'm really walking with God and I'm trying to do what He wants to do. How come I feel those pulls? Why can this thing become such a temptation? But let me tell you, when you start to feel the stings of the people that will, and you start to feel the pulls of social media, let me just encourage you this morning, you are on the right track. God indeed is working in your life and wanting to pull you some directions and do some things in your life. And the only reason you feel that pull against you is because you are following through on what He is calling you to do. Here's what I love about Paul's words in Ephesus. He doesn't leave it there. He reminds us we have a new boss. We've been doing what we've wanted to do on our own, and we are the boss until we commit ourselves to Christ. And now we have a... For those people back there staying awake, you now have a new boss who's going to guide us and push us and cause us at times to change direction. He reminds us we have a new boss and that our boss is so much better. He says, I can't love people any more than I do, but when I look at you and I see the brokenness in your life, I can't leave you where you're at. And my heart has been remade, and I have allowed Him to come into my life and portray that. And so He says to us, so don't be discouraged when those difficult times come, because God is at work changing your life. Temptation will come. Why would you expect anything different? Your eternal destiny is in the balance, so why not expect Satan to attack or to discourage? Your eternal destiny is in this balance. And Paul says, you have an enemy, and he has strategies, and good luck. But remember, God is beside you. And embedded in these words of the first followers of Jesus, Paul gives us language that helps us to move forward. And he uses three phrases. Remember the first verse that we read. Be in the Lord. And in His, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to for against the devil. Stand firm, put on the armor of God, be strong. Three incredible statements. The first is to stand firm. I like the picture of me or you being planted in such a way that we cannot move. That no matter the temptation or the struggle, we might lean, but we aren't going to. My feet are planted firm. I have a friend who owned a property that had a whole bunch of cedar trees on it. I don't know if you know anything about growing cedar trees. Well, you can come on up and talk because I have no idea. Okay? They start everywhere. Well, he had some 25 plus cedar trees on his property. And he said the first year, storm came. First tree fell out on the road. Had to saw it all up, depart with the waste. And he said, next year, second tree fell over in the backyard. He said he had to cut it up, dispose of it. Year three, he said another tree in the backyard fell over, almost destroyed his shed. Cut it up, disposed of it. He said, we learned one thing about these cedar trees. He said, there were some cedar trees that grew up together. And there were some cedar trees that grew in isolation. And he said, not all the trees fell over. It was only the ones that were in isolation. That's right. He said there was two groups, two big clusters of cedar trees that were near the house. And he said they were right next to each other and they didn't fall. He said, think for a second. He said, this group of cedar trees clustered together, experienced the same winds, the same outside elements, the same things that the ones that were uprooted experienced. The only difference was that those trees that were isolated stood on their own, and when the storm came, the trees... Yeah. But not the group of clustered trees. They were able to block the wind and hold each other up. Listen, I get to hear too many stories of folks that have made decisions that have cost them their marriages and their families and their jobs. And the one consistent thread that runs through those stories is that somewhere along the way, they chose to isolate themselves. And it cost them a marriage or a family or a job. You can't be in isolation very long until you begin to feel the sways of resistance. And so, we will work at creating some groups. It isn't because the board has come to me and said, these people just don't have enough to do, they're bored. But we need to get ourselves into more clusters to help one another stay strong. We have one that's not really in the works, but we're looking at it, aren't we, Linda? We have another one that we're looking at pretty good, don't we, Randy? People, our inspiration and our perspiration will only get us so far. We can be like the cedars that are clustered together. We can't overestimate the importance of being the church as the church clustered together, moving out and yet being there for each other. Do you realize how shocked I was? I knew a lot of people were going to go to Dan's, to Joyce's funeral. But 20, almost 25 people from that dinky little church in Dillsburg. I mean, she got a better crowd on Friday than I got today. But that's the church saying, I'm there for you, and I love you, and I don't know what to say, but I will sit here with you and cry. And laugh. And know in the end that God cares. And Paul is saying, whatever you're trying to change, expect opposition, expect temptation, but find a tribe. Be like those cedar trees that are clustered together. But not only that, Paul says, put on the armor. Stand firm and put on the armor of God. Now, I don't know how much armor you have in your closet. I was looking up for the story lady this morning. Did she leave already? Pat. You know, I talked to you about, but I thought I'd get my armor out of my closet. Bring it up so you all could see it today. But then my wife said, oh, I took it to the community aid last week. And I don't have my armor anymore. Second reason she's not here at the service. it might be a little hard for us to visualize, but not in Paul's world. They would see Roman soldiers daily. And Paul, using this deep imagery, makes a deeper point about the need to face down the opposition that we will experience when we decide to move towards Jesus. A few verses later in chapter 6, he describes the armor that he's talking about. He says, stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. And for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. And in addition to all these things, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. And there he goes again, and I get a little frustrated with that language, but he's saying it's there. We may not be able to see it, but it's there. And he said, put on a helmet of salvation and take up the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Think about those images for a moment. Truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation and the word of God. And Paul says, put these things on. You see, you realize our clothes say something about us, don't they? You're going out on a first date. Let's ask the resident experts back there. You go out on a first date, you want to look mighty fine, right? You go out on a job interview, you want to look the part. Your clothes matter, right? In fact, you have made unknown judgments about people that you've maybe never met or really know, all because you saw them wear their clothing. Paul says, let truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation and the Word of God define you. Let those things define you because you will face opposition. But do not forget who you are and do not forget what God says about you. Let His words define you. If you need a way, to get through, he said, listen. If you want to make sure you are walking in that light, you can write this down. He says, today, my life will be shaped by truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation in the Word of God. It is what will define my life with God today. Allowing our lives to be shaped by truth and peace and righteousness and faith and salvation in the Word of God. So in the face of opposition, you will stand in truth and you will wear the armor of God. But he mentions one other thing. He says, be strong and don't let anybody kid you. Be strong in the Lord and His power. It isn't about pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps and trying harder. It's about standing in the Lord and His mighty power. Hey, we're done. That's good. All right. Two words Jesus used with his disciples. I gave them to you already. They were, stay close. Jesus talked about them time and time again. He said, stay close. Folks, we enter the battlefield every day, but the good news is we have a general who knows the battlefield. I don't know about you, but when somebody says to me, let's go to war, I run the other direction. But if I have a general who knows the way through, you can bet I'll stand next to him because he's qualified to lead me through whatever is before us. And he's the only one who has defeated all of the forces of the opposition. So he says, stand your ground. Put on your armor. Be strong in him. Stay close. You want change to happen. He'll allow it to happen as we stay close to him. And he changes us to look less like we want to look and more like him.